Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Perfectly Mentored podcast. I'm your host, Jason Portnoy. This podcast is really designed to be your in-pocket mentor. Everything you'll need to achieve success is going to be discussed on this podcast and future podcasts. We're going to share business and marketing tips, platform updates, important news that's going to get you ahead of the game and keep you one step ahead of your competition. We'll also try to answer any of the questions you might have along your own journey. So feel free to reach out and ask away. So take a listen and become perfectly mentored. Today, my guest is the lovely Anna Shalina, who has had an incredible impact on my own personal mindset and the growth that I've had in terms of business. She's someone to me and in my world and in my circle needs no introduction, but to you, I'll let her introduce herself, give her background, and explain exactly what she does.
Thank you so much, Jason. I'm so excited to be here. So as a high performance and mindset coach for business owners, I get to see people close deals, raise their prices, grow their businesses, get to a point where their businesses are working for them in a sense, instead of you just slaving away for your business. So personal development and mindset has always been part of my journey, even like from school days. Like it was always, you know, trying to develop myself and find, you know, what's the fulfillment out of life and everything. So I used to do like every personal development course under the sun, but at the same time, I didn't take it seriously professionally because I thought I needed to be a business owner and I thought I needed to be an entrepreneur to be taken seriously in this world. So I went off on my entrepreneurial journey and my course, starting business after business in different industries, including security, import, export, and commercial property, amongst others. And then eventually my two favorite things merged, which was business development and mindset and personal development. So when I found that sweet spot, it was just like, so perfect for me. And I get to help lots of people along the way. So that's a little bit about myself.
Awesome. So you touched upon a key word, mindset, right? And that's the buzzword these days. Everyone's talking about mindset, 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 which is kind of a shift from how businesses used to talk back in the day where it's tough and pay no attention to the mindset. It's just about, you know, being aggressive and tough business. Why do you think now all of a sudden we see that shift, that mindset has become that talked about subject and everyone's preaching it and it's become the buzzword of the year?
You know, we have come into so much information in the last few years, and every strategy under the sun is available to us, like on the internet, Google, the strategies are all there. And so the playing field when it came to strategies and systems got pretty even. And then people started asking, hey, you know, that person, and that person, and myself all have the same system, all have the same strategies. However, we're not all equally performing, right? Why is this guy just like flying off and like really like crashing it? And like I'm sitting here not quite like failure to launch or whatnot, you know? So having even out the playing field of strategies and information, people had to turn to themselves and see like, well, maybe I'm the problem. Maybe there's something going on in my mind and in my belief systems, etc., that I need to work on. So I believe that is why it became more and more important. And then the more someone would work on themselves and really break through anything that's holding them back and see the results, the more that also reaffirmed that, yeah, mindset's really important. So I think that's kind of the evolution from where I'm standing anyways.
So that and meditation kind of go hand in hand. If you look at how the trends are going, mindset, you know, people are talking about getting their mindset right through meditation. And that's become another type of buzzword, right? Meditation and, you know,
mindfulness,
headspace. I know there are people who rave about meditation. They love it. They could sit there in quiet and figure it out. I'm more ADD. And the more people I speak to, the more people I'm starting to see can't sit still and can't like sit in silence and let their brain just shut off for a little bit. What are some of the people who want to meditate, like some tips for people who want to meditate, but just can't shut their brain off for that long?
sometimes we forget what the point of meditation is. It's not to shut off. My understanding of it, because there could be many different understandings, my understanding is not to shut off thoughts, is to get it's to have a good relationship with your thoughts. Now, thoughts come and go. So how do we not let them control us, and how do we have more control over them? So in meditation, even if you do it for a couple minutes or 5 minutes, you know, and your intention is to observe thoughts and to get acquainted with them and have a good relationship, so that when you do get triggered, for example, in your day-to-day, you get to choose how you engage with that thought, if that makes sense. So instead of you just being this reactor to everything and anything that happens, it's about learning how to choose how you want to engage with your thoughts. Now, with things like ADD and having a very active mind, meditation over time, it's not a quick fix. And if I had a meditation pill, that would be amazing, but it works over time. And the more someone is dedicated to the practice, the more it's going to work for them. I really believe in starting small and letting that grow. But saying that, if you have a good relationship with your thoughts and you like the way you engage with them, then maybe meditation isn't necessary for you. You know what I mean? It's not like a blanket.
Can you elaborate on what you mean? Sorry to just interrupt. Can you elaborate what you mean on good relationship with your thoughts?
100%. So it's easy to have a great mindset. I'm sure you'll agree, Jason, when everything is going right. But as business owners, we get challenged all the time, right? Like I like to say, we constantly get upgraded. We constantly get promoted to our next level of incompetence, which always has those growing pains. And it's how we deal with those growing pains, and how we deal with that next level of incompetence and with those challenges. And if we have the type of mindset where we love it, there are people who like wake up for the hustle. Do you know what I mean? There are people who just wake up and absolutely crush it, and like they don't need to meditate, for example, or don't feel that they need to, because their relationship with that challenge and that the thoughts that go around the challenge is very healthy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Whereas someone else could interpret or make the challenges mean something completely different. It could debilitate them. It could put them into like a really negative spiral or anything like that. And that's where the way that the thought is controlling them, so they don't really have control over how they engage with the thought. So if you are that type of person, then it does help. It does help to, like I said, use meditation as a tool in order to get acquainted with your thoughts and have a better relationship with them, so that you can engage with them in a way that serves you, in a way that really serves your business.
That makes total sense. But we see this all the time, right? People are posting about mindset. They're posting about visualizing, and almost kind of like how The Secret describes things, you know, put your thoughts out there and get it back. But I feel like most people are missing the one key component, right? Like, you have to work still to get it done, right? You can't just sit around wishing for things and, you know, cure a bad business decision with, okay, what was my mindset? Switch my mindset and all of a sudden my business is going to go right. How do you balance the both, or how do you bring both worlds together? The world of working your ass off and the world of, you know, what you put out there is what you get back.
I liken it to music in a way. When you're playing music, you have to hit notes, but you also have to have moments of silence in between, right? So if you are just banging on notes and you're just working, hustling, it's going to sound like noise and not like music, right? And if all you have is silence, then you're not going to have music either. So like, I really like the whole analogy or likening our mindsets with creating music, because we need to hit the notes and work, but we also need the silences and the gaps in between so that it makes that beautiful song. So it is that yin and that yang and that combination, and it's personal for everyone. And I know, for example, like someone's really trying to close a deal and they just hustling and working. And all they're doing in our metaphor here is just like banging on notes and just creating noise in their minds, right? And then I tell them to take a break, take a day off, and the next day they do come back to me 3 days later and they've closed a deal or two. It's because of that pause and that silence that it creates. So I've really found it helpful likening it to music, to creating music and having that yin and that yang.
No, that's a great analogy. For me, I find myself, you know, when I start drifting off or I see my mindset changing, I always try to remember three things: patience, perspective, and gratitude, right? And anything that goes wrong in a relationship or in business or anything, I always try to put in perspective. I always try to have gratitude for what I have or what I'm complaining about and how people are complaining about way worse and no one's crying for me based off the problems I'm complaining about. And patience that I'm only just starting this journey, right? Like we're still all just starting. We're all just beginning. Most of us haven't, you know, reached the peak. Do you agree? And if you do, how can we teach that? And what are some tips to, you know, make sure you're being patient? You can name as many tips as you want for each one, but if you can, name like three tips on how to be patient, how to get proper perspective, and how to be grateful.
Those are really, really cool things to have in your back pocket to remember. Patience for me is a lot of the time trusting in the universe's timing, because we think we have a plan, right? Or we really want something, or really going for something. But I really believe that the universe is far more intelligent and creative than you and I, and that the picture that's being created is something really beautiful. And the more I learn to relax and trust in the universe's timing, the easier it gets, the easier the rejections get, for example. And, you know, if I get a rejection from a deal, whatnot, and I ask myself, you know, A, how's it serving me? That this maybe my perfect client is around the next corner kind of thing, and B, it like trusting the universe's timing and that it's not quite perfect. And there's like you probably know, Jason, there's no quick fix at all. It's just about reinforcement. It's just about reinforcement. And every time you remember that, it becomes more part of you and more part of you. And part of your blueprint and the way that you just see the world. And then perspective, I would say, is the answer to almost anything. So when we're really near to a challenge or even something great, the great things aren't ever as great in perspective as they are at the time. Neither are the challenges. And our brains do this for a reason. When something's right in front of us, when something's pertinent, then it focuses in and zones in, because it could be life-threatening, for example, or it could be, you know, it's something that we need to tackle on right now. So anything that's right in front of us is always going to seem bigger than in retrospect or in perspective. So perspective, in terms of my favorite thing to do with perspective, is to hang out with people who have biggest perspectives, to hang out with people who have done more, seen more, experienced more, and you know, are more successful, because their perspective kind of like, I always think that if I think of the challenges that Elon Musk, for example, has when his, you know, second rocket blows up or whatnot, like my problems are minuscule compared to that kind of perspective. And so like that's
I'm the opposite. So again, sorry to interrupt, I'm the opposite. I focus on the people who have it worse than me, not the people with the better perspective. I tend to focus on what am I complaining about, and you know, how does this relate to 90% of the people out there? But again, it's like one of those things that you tell someone, oh, it takes time, or, you know, time heals all wounds. It's one of those things that you get, but easier said than done, right? You can't tell people all the time saying, well, just have perspective. There's always someone worse than you. because we're selfish individuals, I believe, and we don't really care. You could try to have perspective. It helps me. But for average people or the average public or the general public, I should say, not average people, but the general public, it's great. I understand that people are worse than me, but I'm going through my life and my world. And right now this hurts and this is bad.
And in that case, I often get people to fast forward 6 months to a year from now. And like, what does this problem look like in your life? And is it worth going, you know, losing 3 days over this? Or should we do a quick exercise where we feel really shit for the next 5 minutes and pack in all the shitty feelings right now and just make ourselves feel almost like that terrible and snap out of it so that we can move on? So, and to, like, there's lots of different ways. I love how, you know, your way of seeking perspective is different to different people. And that's true. There's lots of people who are much less advantaged than me, than a lot of people. And it is good to remember that as well. But it's what works for you, you know, however you bring in that perspective, the better. Whether you just need to take time off and like go for a walk and just remember about, you know, and gratitude, which is the third one, is a big part of perspective as well. Because when we're zoning into the challenges, what's not working, we forget everything that is working and everything that we can be and should be grateful for. And it's one thing to know you should be grateful. And myself as a mindset coach, it's like something I teach, but I have to get reminded sometimes it's like, you're being ungrateful right now, you know, because what did I say the other day? I said like, you know, I don't feel like I'm as successful as everyone else says I am or perceives me. And then my mentor said to me, well, then you're being ungrateful, A, for your successes, and B, for everyone else that acknowledges you. And I was like, crap, that's so true. So it's about then having a mechanism. For me, it's people. I get my energy from people. So whenever I need more gratitude, more perspective, more patience and all of that, I try to go to someone who's got a little bit more than me at the time. And that really, that's my quickest fix in terms of what works for me. For other people who are more internal and need to sit like, you know, more in silence, that can also work with them. So whatever kind of works for you to get there. And there's no one size fits all. And I think part of the journey of mindset and discovering ourselves and becoming spiritual is learning what keys fit our lock, you know, and it'd be so boring if everything worked the same for everyone. So there's definitely that.
Well, one of the things you said in there resonated with me because it's something we spoke about in the past when, you know, I've had conversations with you. And being transparent to everyone listening, you know, I've spoken where I've compared myself to other people. And one of the things you said to me really helped change a lot for me going forward is when you put people on a pedestal, you're doing it because then you dismiss your own self, right? They're ahead of me. I can never achieve what they're doing. So then I don't have to work to do it because it can't be achieved, right? They're special. They're a unicorn. All these people that I put out there and say, oh, they're one in a million. They're unique. One of the things in our conversations that you taught me was by doing that, you're really just giving yourself an excuse to not work for it because, you know, if you think it's unattainable, then there's no point trying to attain it.
So putting someone on a pedestal, A, totally diminishes your light. Like you have all the potential that you can create anything. You have all the potential. But as soon as you start comparing yourself and saying, you know, I'm here and this person is there, you start undervaluing all the strengths that you have. And that can be like a really quick downward spiral because then all of a sudden I'm nothing and they're everything, you know? And we make so many assumptions about people, Jason. We walk around assuming their life story, you know, that this is how their path was. We know jack shit. really about other people. And like the more we stop assuming about other people, the better we can get at stop comparing ourselves. It's just the most ludicrous thing. If you think about it, logically, it doesn't make sense, right? Because logically, you don't know what that person's thought patterns are. You don't know what their challenges are. You don't know what their backgrounds are, nothing. And just to like, to put ourselves in perspective again, is just to remember that I only know myself. I only know my story. I only know me. So the only thing that I can really work on is me. And the better, the more you do that, the more the pedestals, like, you know, become really equal. And you, whenever, and this is the cool thing, if you see something in someone else that you really admire and you think they are up there and you're not, just by recognizing that, you've got it inside you. It's like also how our brain works. We can only recognize something that we also have, but we haven't yet learned to own it. So that person might have owned it and, you know, has broken through certain barriers and certain mindset things, and that's why they're there. But our task is then to own that strength or own that thing that we really admire in someone and see that we are as gifted, as talented, as strong, as fill in the blank as whoever you look up to.
Awesome. Can you talk a little bit about imposter syndrome? I just want, because the flip side of that is, you know, we sit there and say, put people up on pedestals and say, we're not as good as them. But there's people who go through life thinking that they can't do it or they're not good enough, period, regardless of anyone else up there. Just going back one second, you talked about a magic pill. I think if there could be a magic pill that could tune out outside noise from people and people could actually just focus on what they need to do with tuning out the outside noise, I think that would do great. but yeah, imposter syndrome. Can you explain what it is and why so many people go through it and how to kind of snap out of it? Is there a snap or is there a long process? Like what are your thoughts?
I think that imposter syndrome is a label that certain people give to a feeling of uncertainty. So in entrepreneurship and as business owners, we are constantly put into spaces of uncertainty where we have to tackle challenges. And if we name that uncertainty that we potentially could fail really badly at this and make that feeling mean that we don't belong there, other people are better than us, and you know all the things that go along with imposter syndrome, if we make that feeling mean, imposterous, then that's what it's going to be to us. So the quickest thing to do, or the best thing to do really, is to relabel it. That feeling when you step into something new and you have to, you're growing your business, for example, and you're getting a ton of sales calls or whatnot. Or when you're in that new challenge and you get that feeling, but you label it as, this is exciting, right? I might not know anything here. I might completely screw this up. But that's exciting for me, you know? So it's always what we make the feeling mean. And so over the years, why some people are more conditioned to feel like they're imposters or have imposter syndrome is because over the years, every time that you've been in a situation where there's lots of uncertainty, you haven't done it before, it's proven, you have evidence that you are not good enough, or you've created those stories that you're not good enough. So it's really about rewriting those stories where, you know, that situation proved that you might not be good enough at that specific thing, but you're plenty good at all these other things. You see, also having such a broad label of good enough is like good enough at what? The more specific, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but if we define a problem well enough, we have a solution. So if you ever feel that you're not good enough or you have imposter syndrome, it's like, what specifically do I feel I'm not good enough? Or like have imposter syndrome for, or because it's usually one thing that like just goes everywhere. I don't know if you can relate, where it starts off with one thing.
I find more imposter syndrome being that despite results, you still feel like you can't do it. Like there's so many people I speak to, despite contrary evidence to what they're feeling or what they're saying, and that they actually can do it, they still don't think they're good enough or can achieve what they're looking out to achieve or setting out to achieve.
So sometimes we have to call ourselves out on our own bullshit, because you know that's bullshit, you know? And the more we remind ourselves that that's bullshit, and we rewire that programming and that pattern that, you know, I'm actually going to, you know what I'm going to do instead of thinking I'm not good enough? I'm going to celebrate every win. And by celebrating every win and by reinforcing that behavior and that thought pattern, then that becomes the new norm. You know, like one of my favorite things is keeping a winning journal, because that way, no matter what, I don't care if you've had the worst day on the planet and you get into a habit of recording a win or 3 to 5 wins every single day, then you end the day good enough. You know, you end the day a winner. And the more you do that, the easier it is to believe that you're totally badass, you are good enough. And so the old programming starts like washing away, and the new stories and the new beliefs start coming in.
I also just, I've learned to, as an entrepreneur, learn to realize that it's highs and lows, right? You're going to feel feelings of depressed. You're going to feel feelings of extreme excitement. You know, it's the ups and downs that one day I may feel like I can achieve it, but the next day something big will happen. I know that will make me feel like, wow, I'm the best there is at what I do. So I kind of just get to relate to it. And I speak to people all the time who are just starting businesses, and I can see right away that they don't have the skin to go through that journey, right? Because the lows get low and they just focus on the highs. But it's the highs that are going to get you out of those lows. So that's just me personally. That's how I kind of looked at imposter syndrome and said, well, yeah, it's just part of the natural journey of being an entrepreneur. Like, so today I don't feel like I could do it, tomorrow I will. What, you know?
It doesn't have to be like that. Like, we all go through ups and downs for sure, but it's how long we stay in the lows. And also, if you remove the vocabulary of imposter syndrome, like, it doesn't exist, because we give words so much power, and then we get attached to them and we're like, well, you know, this is what I'm feeling. And like I said, it's a label. The more, if you just get rid of that and say like, so today I'm feeling that this particular task is very challenging, or I wasn't able to get through to the person I wanted to, or and get like through, you know, this is what I'm doing about it, and throw away that word altogether, the less you'll actually feel it. You know what I mean? Like, just throw it away. Try that on.
I want to go back to something you said in the beginning of the podcast, where you talked about, you know, what we can choose is how we react to certain things, right? Why do you feel like most people, like, why do you think that it seems like most people's default is a negative approach, right? I feel like almost everyone I know or people I talk to, it's very rare to find someone who's extremely optimistic and positive, and that their default isn't to go to the negative.
So the way our brains are wired is very much, our brains are wired to keep us safe. Our brains are wired to survive. Now, a lot of us have evolved from surviving. Like, you know, we have food on the table, we have our necessities met, but we haven't trained our brain how to go into thriving mode, or that positivity, or that, you know, what you're talking about. So that's again where mindset comes in. It's like, okay, I recognize that my brain was built to keep me safe. It wasn't built to make me happy. And it's my job to override. And it's so difficult. Like, do not underestimate. Don't like brush it off and say like, oh, it should be easy. Mindset, a good mindset should be easy. why? Who said that? You know, that's complete BS. But when we recognize that our, you know, our first instinct is to go to danger, to the negative, to survival, and only then, once we learn to override it, we can be as positive and inspirational as we want to. But it's about recognizing that that's kind of where it comes from. And then working on what you focus on expands always. So if you focus on the things that are working, if you focus on you feeling like a winner every day and, you know, and making sure that I will not end this day without feeling like a complete winner. When you focus on those things, when you focus on spending time with other positive people, those things start infiltrating your life more and more, and you'll start to see the shift happening. And so it's always what we focus on and what decisions we make. You know, where we are today is a series of decisions that we've made. Now, this is a very, very empowering thought, which means that anywhere that we want to be, anywhere that you want to be, is only a series of new decisions, right? Only a series of new decisions. So what decisions, what new decisions do you need to make to get there? If these past decisions got you here, what are the new decisions that you need to make to get you there? It's really empowering, but also it puts the responsibility on you, right? There's nothing else and no one else, and like circumstances, people, it's just you. You have to decide. And sometimes that responsibility is too much for people. Lots of people, you know, don't want that responsibility and would rather go the default way. But then don't tell me you want to be happy, and don't tell me that you want all the success, because that's a lie.
But how important are your circle, the circle that you hang out with, to change that? Because I believe positivity is such an undervalued trait in people that when I started to make a push to try to make that my default, I started noticing it more in people and realizing that the people who have it are extremely special and rare. How important is the circle you hang out in? And then if you have people in that circle that aren't like that, do you break up with them? Do you break up with your friends at this point? Like what do you do?
It's such a valid point, because our environments dictate our future and our destiny and where we're going. So I believe the people that you surround yourself with are everything. And it's a very, when you get, I got to this point where I knew I had to upgrade my peer group. I just like, I read it every, you know, you read it, you know it, people tell you this, but I didn't know how to do it. I was like, okay, great. I want to hang out with better, more successful, more high vibe people. How do I do this? And I had to learn to be of value to high vibe people. So if you want to be a high vibe person, find out how you can be of value to other high vibe people. Because high vibe people want to hang out with high vibe people. That would be my first thing. And that, like, that journey for me was writing a book. That journey for me was getting on stage and sharing my message. That journey for me was, you know, teaching, because I had to also get better at my craft. I had to know what I was doing, because like people who are successful, more high vibe, they're not going to have time for your complaints, your excuses, all the things you could, like, they didn't give a shit, you know? So the more you learned to be valuable and own it, own your strengths, own your successes, find things that are really unique to you and get even better at that, and find ways to serve people with that. That is kind of the first step to moving across. Now in my journey, and I can only talk for myself, I found that other people, as I moved circles, a lot of people just fell away. Because like they just did not like what, like it wasn't a fit anymore, you know, and I couldn't listen to their complaining anymore, and they couldn't listen to my positivity anymore. They were just like, I'm not inviting Anna to anything anymore. And So a lot of the time, we make it a little bit complicated, where the wrong people will kind of fall away. And that's not a bad thing. They're not bad people. It just means that they were there for a season or a reason, you know, and now it's time for you to hang out with other people, and that's also fine. And they'll still be fine. So it doesn't have to be this big dramatic breakup. It's about being on the same level of vibration or frequency as the people that you want to hang out with, or as the people that are doing better than you. And in terms of, like, I still have friends and family members that, you know, I don't talk to them about my business goals. I don't tell them how much I make. You know, I don't tell them about any of those things, because it's not, just not conducive in a way, and it doesn't matter. But I still value the relationship. You know, you can still, don't force your stuff on other people. Like, nobody cares. And if you just kind of care without judgment almost, and just be, and when someone's ready to ask you, hey Jason, how did you do it? You know, how are you doing all these things? And you share freely, then that's your time to share. You know, just don't be that idiot who's like, I'm so high vibe now, I have all these, like, you know, high vibe circles, like, screw you, let me tell you how it's done. That's also the wrong way to go about it.
Bring you back to the business side of things. I don't know if you've seen the show Billions, but Billions has put a spotlight on mindset coaching and performance coaching through changing someone's mindset. When I think before the show, people would have thought talking about your feelings would have nothing to do with achieving business success, or it was considered therapy, which was taboo. You have to have some sort of personality or problem in your life that you wanted to share, and no one really spoke about it. The show Billions really kind of put the focus on these high-powered individuals wanting to go into the office, wanting to talk about what they were feeling in order to get it out there and become a better functioning performer for the company. How important is mindset coaching, not for personal reasons, because I think we've discussed that, but for achieving extreme business growth or financial growth or success?
We're never not challenged as business owners. We're never not going to be challenged. And when we get to that next level, the more people we have, whether it's a coach, for example, who can help us break through that bottleneck faster, the easier and better the road is. It's about the path of least resistance. If you want to go in there and fight your own battles and figure out your mommy, daddy, and dog issues by yourself, and where your belief systems come from and everything, then, you know, be my guest. That's also fine. But if you have someone with more knowledge in that specific field that can help you break through faster and get your goals faster, why not utilize that? You know, entrepreneurs are very unique people, because a lot of us think that we have to be these lone rangers, and that we have to, this is my goal, and when I achieve my goal, then I'm successful and I get to tell all these stories, and I am proving myself to all these people, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas if you look at the science of the greatest achievers, if you look, like, you know, in sports, performers, business, the greatest achievers have teams of people who are experts in their specific fields, right? They have teams of people who are going to help you in that specific. Any Olympic, you know, athlete has a whole team of people helping them with, you know, physical, with mind, with eating, with sleeping, with everything. And so as entrepreneurs, it's like, why aren't we having our own teams? Why do we think that we have to reach the Olympics by ourselves? You know, why don't we set up these teams? And if one of them is a mindset coach, because they can help you overcome your own BS faster, they can give you that perspective also often, and get your, like, you out of your own way in a way, then why not build that team that's going to get you to where you want to go faster?
I just think the misconception people have, right, is that people who write this, like the self-help industry, right, is a very lucrative industry, because there are always ways to knock someone down and make them feel worse than they are, or and then read a book on how to get better. I think there's a lot of negative stigma around people who are now, it's now coming out that people who are taking advantage of people in that self-help industry are getting called out now as bottom feeders. There's just been a lot of negative talk about it. I equate it as, you know, on Instagram, everyone puts out motivational content, right? And people like reading it, they get rah-rah, right? But they love the feeling of being motivated, but they hate doing anything about it after, right? So what do you say to people who think what you do is just, woo, it's a band-aid solution. Yes, you know, talk about your feelings, get better, and then get out of your own way and just talk about your mommy issue today, and so you could go out and work. Like, what do you say to those people who just dismiss it entirely?
Usually nothing. Because I have had people attack what I do and like legitimately tell me that like they hate me and it's just complete bullshit. And in a sense, they don't know what they're talking about because they've never tried it. So number one is never knock something that you've never tried or experienced before. And there are some ill-intentioned people. So when you are maneuvering the space, like, you know, kind of know what works for you and what is actually like a trap, or, you know, like, I don't offer long-term coaching. I do 3 months or 6 months because I don't want to be that band-aid. I want to get you to your 3-month goal and your 6-month goal. And then if we want to work on another goal, then we sign another agreement kind of thing, because coaching, self-help, etc., does get used as a crutch. You know, you go like, oh, but I have a coach, or I'm doing this. And, you know, years and years and years, you're still like in the same place. And I don't know, like, maybe a therapist is good for that, but I don't believe that's what coaching is for. So it's all in the results. So if you have a goal and someone can help you get there, fantastic. You know, do that again. If it's not the case, then don't do that again. So it's a tough one. It really is, Jason, because there is a lot of stigma, and I experience it all the time. But at the end of the day, what really like fuels me is getting those notifications that say like, oh my God, Anna, I just signed this 10K deal. I've just signed 2 more clients. I've just, you know, like after working with you, like XYZ happened. We've just had our biggest month, which I just had with a client the other day. And I'm just like, well, how can I not continue to do what I do? Because I can see the results. And at the end of the day, the people who I serve are much more important than someone with a, they're coming from their level of understanding and their level of consciousness, and they just don't fit. And that just needs to matter less and less. Like, my results and my clients are first. Everything else in terms of opinions, especially if it's people who aren't doing as well as you, you know, and they have like all these opinions and stuff like that. Just have to be careful where you get your opinions from. Because opinions are like a-holes. Everyone has one.
Yeah. It's funny the amount of people giving how to grow multi-million dollar businesses when they're just starting to start their own business, right? It's people just like to talk. What's your approach? Is your approach more on the tough love spot? Is it the coddling approach? What do you find most of your clients need?
My approach is very much in the universal principles, quantum science side, or it comes from that. So when I talk about energy and I talk about meditation and I talk about having gratitude or a winning journal, that doesn't come from because it's nice to have. That comes from, I know that, you know, about like waves and frequencies, and when you elevate those, then you match other frequencies, and that way it works. Kind of thing.
Go on.
So I really struggled with personal development before, like going to this, these things that made me feel good. And like you said, rah, rah and everything. And then I just like fall completely flat because like, you know, it wasn't sustainable and whatnot. And it wasn't until I got really stuck into the science behind it, the way the universe operates in terms of energy and everything. And I mean that on a scientific level, I could marry the two and it really like clicked for me and I can help people because of like the evidence-based things that I do. So I don't know if that answers your question.
So for the record, science supports that karma is real. If you're a good person, you get good stuff back.
That is not what I said at all. It's things that you attract match your frequency. So
how important is karma? Is karma real?
That is a very long debate. It's for me, I don't teach karma. I don't know enough about it to teach karma. But I know that if you want, it's about matching frequencies, which is different from karma because karma has a time lapse or time effect where it's like today something, you know, happens and then in the future, whereas I have more of the past, the present and the future or parallel realities approach where karma, the theory of karma clashes a little bit. So that's, yeah, without going too deep into it, that's a little bit about...
So everything you do plus hard work is the recipe for success, right? We can't eliminate hard work from the equation.
No, for sure. Like it's your state, it's your hard work. It's focused and inspired hard work as well, you know? People, there are a lot of hardworking people in Africa who, you know, are on a dollar, two or three a day. So like it's this Rubik's cube, right? Of focused hard work that's inspired as well as your mindset and your energy. Like, so just having a great mindset and thinking that you can fly a plane is going to crash the freaking plane, right? Just being able to, so yeah, if someone comes at you with mindset, like all you need is mindset, blah, blah, blah. And they make you believe that you can get into a cockpit and fly a plane, but you don't have the skill set or you haven't put in the time to learn or to do, to get that skill or to get that deal, whatever, then you're going to crash. But on the other hand, you know, if all you have is a skill set, then you also get in a bit of a rut and stuff. So it is a combination, the mindset as well as the strategy and the focus work towards it for sure.
Awesome. I love this stuff. So we'll wrap it up here. What advice do you have for people who want to learn more about what you're talking about? Obviously, use this as a way to plug yourself and talk about how they could reach you. But even, you know, if they want to look out certain speakers that you admire or you relate to or certain books that you recommend, feel free to put that in there as well.
100%. Thanks, Jason. So, yeah, like my website, annashalina.com and all the social media things that go along with it. It's pretty easy to find. In terms of resources, so Dr. John DeMartini has had a really huge impact in terms of the universal principles and the science behind what I'm talking about. And Dr. Joe Dispenza as well, like neuroscience, measuring frequencies of people as they're meditating, the breakthroughs. And I've been lucky enough to meet them in person and to be like in their rooms as well as learn from their work. So those are two like really, really great starts. Like in terms of more philosophical, like Alan Watts on his YouTube channel is amazing as well. Those are just a couple of starts, but find something that resonates with you and but also don't get lost in it. You know what I mean? Like find something that works, don't get lost in it and use it as an aid. There are people that kind of like, it's not an all-encompassing tool. It's an aid.
I put this question out there, you know, asking if anyone had any questions. And one of the questions I got back was, does a mindset coach have a mindset coach?
Yes, they really, really should. And I do. I have a mentor who I call when I'm, and I had this, I had to get up on stage a couple of months ago, and I was feeling super uninspired because I just launched the brand and it wasn't doing as well as hoping. I don't know if you've ever launched something and it falls completely flat.
Never. Just success from day one all the way through.
Yeah. And that happens to all of us. 90% of the shit I try doesn't work, right? But it was something that like my heart was really into, and I was like, this is it. Like, you know, and so my confidence and my mindset got knocked as well. And then I had to get up on stage and talk about mindset and inspire people. And I was like, I don't think I could do this. And then I called my mentor. I did. And I said, how do you, and he spoke in front of tens of thousands of people at a time. So a hall of 10,000 people is like no biggie. So I said, how do you inspire people when you don't necessarily feel inspired? Because it's a complete falsehood that we all, like someone, a mindset coach or someone that you put on pedestals always has their shit together. They really, really don't. And so I had to spend some time with my mentor, and he said to me, he said, Anna, you're not going to like this. And I'm like, uh-oh. He's like, you're going to have to share with people what you're going through. And I was like, are you crazy? How am I supposed to get up there and tell people that, like, you know, I don't have my shit together all the time and everything? And he's like, well, that's the only way. Otherwise, you're going to be a complete fraud on there, up there. And nobody's going to believe you. You won't be able to change a single life. And, you know, you're full shit. And it was like probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do is to follow that advice. But you know, that did change people's lives because they were like, okay, cool. So I'm always going to be elevated to my next level of incompetence. I'm never going to be not challenged. And as long as I have someone to go to that can help me out of this, I'll be fine. You know what I mean? Like I'll be completely fine. And then it moves on. So yes, a mindset coach should have a mindset coach.
And 100% being relatable and congruency is super, super important. You know, you talking about having a certain mindset, but when you don't have that mindset, it will come across. So that's one of the things I got when I was afraid of putting out this podcast or afraid of starting video, doing video. It's one of the people who've achieved the success that I'm looking to achieve. They said, just be honest. Take that video camera, put it on you and say, you're scared shitless to do this right now, but you know it has to get done. And then this way you don't get on camera and pretend to be all comfortable when in fact you don't look comfortable at all. Anna, thank you so, so much for doing this. I appreciate it. I know you're really, really busy. I'll link up all your information in the show info. But again, thank you so much. And I really, really appreciate it.
Jason, thank you so much for having me here. And thank you for inspiring people and for just being kick-ass and like being real as well. And just like showcasing that, because the more we do that, the more false pretenses that can fall away and people can have real connection. You know, it's not like pretend success, you know, looking for pretend success. We're all looking for that real connection, and you're helping people do that. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Anna. That means a lot. Thank you so much.